Welcome. Mashiach Matters. And we are holding over here Parshas Toldos. Right over here. We're holding at the conclusion of the sale of Yaakov buying the Bechorah from purchasing the firstborn rights from his brother Esav. And we're learning the verse, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayemi Yaakov Yishav Elis, swear to me, make an oath to me, Kayoim, like the day, Vayishav Elo, he swore to him, Vayimkar Es Bechorah, so he sold his firstborn rights to Yaakov. Okay. So we're holding the next Pasuk. And it says, Yaakov nosan le'esav. So the pasuk says that Yaakov gave to Esav lechem. Just 1 minute before we do that, before we go there, we were discussing in the earlier classes an interesting thing. Why is it putting this Chaf Hei Lamed Beis? Give me just 1 second. Give me this. No, because we were holding. No, I realize now. We were holding a Pasuk before that. Because we were holding Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayomer Esav, so Esav says to Yaakov. This is what we were holding. Hinei Hanoichi Hoylech Lamos. I am on my way to die. I am going to die. So when Yaakov asked him, sell me the Bechorah, the firstborn rights, Esav said, I am on my way to die. V'lama zali Bechorah, why do I need a Bechorah? And the sages, the Medrash derives from this, why do I need the firstborn? I'm going to die anyways. And the Medrash actually learns out from here that Esav denied both, he denied the Tchias HaMesim, he denied the resurrection, so he was kofer. He rejected Olam Haba, the world to come, which the higher meaning of the strongest meaning of the world to come means the world of the resurrection. Even though there's talk about that, what it means, but Abi Pashtis, I mean, in its ultimate sense, it means the time of the resurrection, Tchias HaMesim, and that Esav denied that. And that he denied Hashem's existence entirely. We spoke earlier already that Esav on that day committed 5 sins. He raped a girl that was actually engaged to be married to someone else. He murdered someone. He served idols in the fact that he denied God. He denied the world to come, which is the resurrection. He thought there's no afterlife or no continuity. And finally, we learned that he shamed the service of Hashem. He shamed the firstborn. Those were the 5 sins. So we actually learn it out from this pasuk because it says, V'lama zeli, zeh is referring to God. As it says, zeh keli v'anvei. This is my God and I will zeh keli. When you see zeh means this is my God. And being that Esav said, V'lama zeh, means I don't need zeh. So he denied God, he denied the world to come. Fine. From the words, he's saying, Hinei noichi hoylech lamos, I am going to die. You see from there that he denied the resurrection. So we need to understand Bechlal. What was Esav saying over here? What is Esav saying? The Alshech asks a good question. The Alshech HaKadosh, a great commentator on the Chumash, asks a question. What does he mean, I'm going to die? Esav was 15 years old. Why is he talking about death? He's a young kid. He has still a long life ahead of him. In those days, people were living like his parents, 180. See, you know, okay, it's not like the olden days where they lived to over 1,000 years, but what's his fascination with death? I'm going to die. Well, that's what Klipa is. The unholy is fascinated with death. It celebrates death, not life. And he explains that there's really, it's a really, 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 really fundamental thing. I mean, we have to realize how deep this is in terms of our psychology, in terms of our, this makes a huge difference in a human being's health.
All participants are muted and they can unmute themselves.
This makes a huge difference in a person's health. Where are we heading toward? A non-believer who believes that the world is an accident and there's no purposeful design, that there's a creator who created all of this. So really, the moment you're born, you're on a path to dying. Because it might be 100 years, it might be 200 years away, but still, the path is you're in the midst of expiration. Like something is expiring. You fill up your tank with gas, even if it's a large tank, and you got enough gas to go across America, and you drive a hybrid or whatever. So you know that you're not going to be using too much gas, but in the end, eventually, it's going to use up. So when a person sees themselves as an accidental, as a freak accident, and just existing here by chance, what are you looking forward? Where is your direction? Your direction is to death, and that's it. Finish, fartik, kaputo, it's over. Those, however, that have if a person is aware in the reality of a creator and that there's a higher purpose to life because someone designed this life, someone outside of life created life and created the world. And in that sense, as we say, to live and to live again, that this is this is round one, and where we relive, and this is the testing round. And then we come to live again, to live a true life, which is a life in revelation, not a life in concealment, where we're being tested. So then the journey is a journey to life, not a journey to death. This is huge. It's what is a person, and as minutes are ticking, as the minutes tick, is a person's life ticking away, or are you actually moving towards ultimate experience and ultimate life? I mean, just to think about this, Baruch, thank God, I've been born and all my life been raised in a awareness of a faith and belief, but to even imagine the horror and the deep erosion that takes place in a human being that sees his life ticking away, that must be the most frightening, most disheartening, depressing thought. So that's the way Esav is living with. He's going to die. Even if he's, as the Al-Sheikh says, even if he's 15 years old and he's Superman on the block and he's so strong, but ultimately his clock is ticking, and it reminds us the story of the great tzaddik who stayed in a hotel at night and he heard a clock, and he couldn't sleep all night. In the morning, when the host asked him, "How was your night?" He said, "Terrible." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because I couldn't sleep." He said, "What was wrong?" He said, "What's that clock you have in that house? In the room, there's a clock there that just couldn't let me sleep." And he said, "Oh, that clock is a special clock. I received it from a great tzaddik who was a son of the Chayza from Lublin. And when he didn't have what to pay one time, he came over here and he had to stay. There was a storm. He had to stay here for a while, and not having any means to pay, he gave me something that was precious to him—the clock that he got from the inheritance of his father. And that's what he left by me." So he says, "Ah, now I understand why I couldn't sleep, because all night long I was feeling tremendous excitement. Usually, a clock," he says, "creates a certain sense of sadness because time is passing. It's one moment closer to the end of a person's life, but this clock was stimulating unbelievable joy and anticipation." So he realized it was the Chayza from Lublin. He was moving towards life. He wasn't moving towards death, because every moment he saw it as a second closer to Mashiach, a second closer to the ultimate state of life. And that's what the pasuk is saying over here. Esav's attitude, however, and that's the We don't want to be in that realm. We don't want to be in a place where we're not going to a place of death. We're going to a place of life. Okay, that's what the Alshach says regarding to Esav. But the Mashiach concept over here is that we don't learn from Esav that that's where he's going or that's where he's thinking he's going, but rather we live with Yaakov's element. Eshalech, like David HaMelech says, Eshalech lefnei Hashem, I walk in front of God, ba'artzos hachayim, in the lands of life. Because from this land of life, we move into another land of life. And ultimately, the highest land of life is down over here when we're all going to come back to live. Okay. To take that a step deeper, this idea that I'm going to die, and we understand why. So if you're living that way, then there's nothing higher in your life. So what do you need Bechora for? Bechora, firstborn, is the means to serve God in an extra way, in a more powerful way, which obviously is meaningful if you believe in something permanent and eternal. So that's why he says, why do I need Bechora? Bechora actually, more than that, Bechora is double portion. When you're the firstborn, you have double portion. And what's the double portion? Double portion means this world and the world to come. That's double portion. So, or the world to come, Tchias HaMesim itself is double portion. It's either it's double portion because it's this world and the world to come. And that's why the sages say that Esav sold his world to come, because he gave away his double portion. Or the world to come in it of itself, without this world, is also double portion. Why? Because the sages say that our world, so says the Yismach Moshe, that our world was created with a hey, and the world to come is created with a yud. Now a hey is the numeric value of 5. That means that the numeric value of this world is 5. And then there is the world to come, which was created with the yud. The numeric value of the letter yud is 10. 10 is double 5. So therefore, firstborn, which gives you double portion, is the world to come. Now, when Esav says, I am going to die, it's not just, okay, I am expiring. But he's actually, as we mentioned earlier, he denied the world to come. From this that he said, I am going to die, he denied the world to come. And where do we see that? So here there's something fascinating. Sefer Kosnos Oyer brings the Gemara, the passage of the Talmud. This is really delightful. The Gemara says, in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Aleph, the Gemara says, Amalayahim Mina, Legeviya Ben Psisa, this heretic, this non-believer, said to Gevia ben Psisa. Gevia ben Psisa was known as one of the people who was involved in many debates between the sages and those that were trying to make trouble for the sages. Anyways, this guy said to Gevia ben Psisa, "Ve'lechoin chayve, woe to you, you sinners!" You're referring to the believers as the sinners. You are the sinners. Because you say, Misi Chayin. You say, Mesei Chayin, that the dead are going to come alive. And you guys believe in this. You believe that even the people that die are going to come back alive again. So he said, it's such a ridiculous thing that you're saying. The Chayin Mesei, the Mesei Chayin. I'm going to prove to you that it's rubbish. I'm going to prove to you that your belief is such a ridiculous thing. Said with a kal v'chomer, with a simple logic, if living people die, that even those that are alive don't continue living, they meet death. So the dead are for sure going to be dead. If death is so powerful, again we're going into the mindset, like the Arabs and the Muslims and the. We're also very into death. That's their whole thing, to die. opposite of the Jewish people, we're v'chai behem. We have to live. So if your reality is death, then that's what you're saying. This is it. He's saying if death is so powerful and it's so strong that even those that are alive can't help it, but death overpowers them and they die. So those that are dead already, for sure they remain stuck in death. I'm sure they won't come alive. That was his logic. If even the living have to die, then the dead for sure have to die, meaning remain dead. So what does he answer that? Amalei said to them, he said to him, woe to you sinners. He says back to these heretic. He says, Damritun Mesi Loichay, you say the dead will not live. I'll prove you the exact opposite. The loy have a chaya. Those that never lived are alive, come to life. The have a chaya loy kolshkin. Those that lived already, how much more so? So Rabbi Ibn Sisa says you're just getting it all wrong. Life is so powerful that it sweeps into life even those that are not alive at all. Meaning newborn babies that are just never been around. Life is so powerful that it pulls them into life from non-life, from non-existence. They're pulled into life. So those who lived already for sure will come into life. If those that have no life yet, they never lived, are brought into life. Those that have lived already, so it's easier for them to enter life. For sure they're going to be alive. So he didn't like the answer, this guy. So he says, Amalai, he yells at him. And he says, Chayva karisali? That's what happens when people that don't have an argument, but they get it, they don't have a reasonable argument to refute the argument. So they resort to just emotional outbursts. So that's what he says to him, which is so cool. Amalai, he says to him, Chayva karisali? You call me a sinner? He's the heretic saying this to Gavir. You call me a sinner? Eka mina be'itna. If I will get up, if you're saying I'm going to get up, right? If I ever get up again in the afterlife, be'itna bach, I'm going to give you such a kick. Upashtina lak musach, I'm going to straighten out your hunch. Gavir ben Psisa was a hunchback. So he yells at him and he says, if I ever come alive, I'm going to kick you so hard in the back that I'm going to straighten out your hunch. Amalei. So he thought it as a Amalei matoise kain. If you can do that, he says, then we're going to call you a real professional healer. He says, well, thank you. That'd be, I would appreciate that very much if you can kick me in the back and straighten out my hunch. V'schar harbetitalin, you're going to get a lot of reward. That was the argument. So what do you see from here? What you see from this argument is that the question is, where are you coming from? What's the base? Is the fundamental of your reality death, chas v'shalom, or is the fundamental of one's reality life? If we're looking at everything from a place of death, then even the living are swallowed up by death. We find there's a tug of war between life and death. So if you're living with the fundamental reality is death, then even the living, then you can make a logic. You can create a logic like this heretic, which the idea of being a heretic means to be disconnected from life. So inherently, this person is breathing the oxygen of death, if you can say that. And then that becomes his logic. But then on the other hand, if you're living with life, then your logic becomes a logic of life. And what's your logic of life? If life is so strong that even those that haven't lived yet can live, how much more so those that were alive already? For sure they're going to live again. Temporarily, for whatever reason, death, the curse of death, has gotten through the cracks. When Adam and Chava sinned, has gotten into the cracks. But eventually, of course, those that were alive again are for sure going to come to life. So now we'll understand Esav's argument. Esav was of this death cult. So that's why, what does he say? He says, I'm going to die. So from the fact that I'm going to die, he's denying Tchias HaMesim. He said, man, that's exactly what he was saying. If I'm going to die, which means if even the living are dying, then definitely why do I need a world to come? Why do I need a... Because it's not going to happen. To what use is it to me? The firstborn, which is something that, as we spoke last week from the Bnei Yisachar, that the whole Bechora time period of when Bechora serving God as the priestlyhood is going to be given to the Bechorim is mainly in the future days. So why do I need it? Okay. So this is all the explanation on this Esav here. But there's something much deeper here as well, and which is a little bit mystical. And this is from the Chasam Sofer. We discussed him last week. And this is really, really Gishmak. He says, when Esav says, Hine enoichi oilach lamos, behold, I am going to die, vazlamas ali bachora, these last words, why do I need, why is it to me bachora? Awesome. He relinquished everything. He gave everything. Everything. He relinquished all of his satanic power. Everything he let go. Because Satan, the powers of the unholy, don't have any powers of their own. It's all divine sparks that are there. And he just let go of it all at that moment. So Esav actually purchased all the spark of holiness and redeemed it. He says that the words V'lama zeh li b'chayra is the exact gematria. I did the gematria earlier. Of 366. Okay, you can take your calculator out later and do the gematria. I'm not going to do it now with you. V'lama zeh li b'chayra is gematria 366. We know Satan is gematria 364. Satan, Shin, is 300. Tes and Nun, Tes and Nun is, 1 second, is 59. 359. Os, and maybe you add a Sitna. Hasatan. This Satan. This Satan is gematria 364. You add another hey. And the Gemara says because the Satan has power, satanic power is only in 364 days of the year. They don't have power on the 365th day, which is Yom Kippur. That's what the sages say. That's why HaSatan is gematria 364, because he's only got power over 364 days. The 365th day he doesn't have any power on, which is since the gematria of Olam HaZali B'chayra is 366, so that's the entire annihilation of Satan. I mean, I would have to understand why not 365. At 365, if his gematria is 364, then 365 is already his entire annihilation. No, maybe not, because you see that from the power of 365 he's not annihilated, because we have 365 days of the year. And he just doesn't have power on that day, on the 365th day, but in the rest of the year, he's back in control. So maybe that's what he means. But from the level of 366, boom, he's wiped out completely. So when he said, V'zama, the Lama Zel Li Bechora, which is 366, he relinquishes the power of Esav, which is the power of the Satan, because we know that the Malach of Esav is the Malach Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. So he's relinquishing his power completely. To add to that, he says that the inside words, just the word V'lama zeh li, just zeh and li together. So let's do that. We'll do the gematria together. Li is 40. Lamed yud is 40. Zeh is 12. Zayin and hey is 12. So 40 and 12 is 52. He says the 52 is a very important word. 52 is gematria bakol. Kol is 50, bakol. And we learned earlier already, and it's actually, no, it's not in this week's parsha, but Parshas Chayesar, it says, Vashem berachas Avram bakol. Hashem blessed Avram bakol. And we know what Rashi says, that Avram had a daughter. And her name was Bakol. The daughter of Avram, her name was Bakol. What does it mean that Avram had a daughter, her name was Bakol? Avram is Chachma. We'll get a little mystical over here. The Chasam Sefer doesn't say all of this, but I'm just adding, making associations, hopefully to explain it a little better, which I think are true. And we learn in Chassidus all the time that Avram is Chachma, Avram, exalted father, the Chassidus of this week of Parshas Lech Lecha. And the daughter of Avram is Malchus. Malchus is called Bas. She's the daughter of Chachma. Special relationship, father to daughter, we learned many times. So if that's the case, when it says Bas Hayolela Avram, that's referring to Malchus, the Shechina. The Shechina is the power of 52. Mystically, we also know that one of God's names, Yudke Vavke, if you make the Miloy of Hayz, which is the name of Hashem as it is associated with Malchus, because the name of Hashem as it is could be associated with various different spheres. And when it's associated with Chachma, it's the name of 72. When it's associated with Bina, it's the name of 63. If it's associated with the six emotions, it's the name of 45. And when it's associated with Malchus, it's 52, called Shem Ban. So it comes out that the Shechina is called Ban. Zeli is 52. And here is where Esav let go of the Shechina. We know that the galus of the Shechina is an exile in Esav. Galu le'edem Shechinemar. Here is where Esav. This was a very mystical moment, very deep moment. Yaakov is redeeming the Shechina now from Esav in this little, and Esav relinquishes it, because we know that even though galus Edom, it goes on for 2,000 years, it seems like it's never going to end. Chas v'shalom, it's on and on and on. We're close to 2,000 years, but in the end, Zeli is going to come out. The 52. Basoil Bakol. And what's going to happen? What do we say in davening? In benching? We say, Ken Yavarech Isano, Hashem should bench us. Bakol Mikol Kol. And that is the Jewish people get blessed with the energies of the Shechina, which is Bakol. And we extract. We also know that in this idea that the Shechina is in exile is because, particularly, the Shechina is associated with the fallen sparks. That's what we say, galus ha-shechina, sparks of the Shechina that are embedded all over the world that need to be redeemed. It's all associated with this name of 52, which is the tikkun that we do throughout the entire galus. We do a tikkun in the Shechina, and we elevate her. And here is where we have that relinquishing, says the Chasam Sofer. Zeli gematria 52, which is gematria Shechina, not gematria Shechina, which is the power of the Shechina, which is vizlama zeli b'chayra, that's released. Very, very powerful. He says, when Esav lets go of the Shechina, which is Bakol, which is Avram's daughter, which is Bakol, then as it remained, Yaakov gets Hashem Berech HaSavram Bakol. Yaakov gets all that blessing. In Esav, the letters get rearranged and it becomes Kelev, it becomes a dog. So Esav remains with the dog. And Kedusha has taken out the Shechina. This is the idea. Another gewaldig inyan in terms of once we're already in the world of gematria over here, again from the Chasam Sefer, the word Bechora, which is V'lama Zeli Bechora. So again, all the words together, V'lama Zeli Bechora is gematria 366, which represents the entire bankruptcy of the Satan. Satan is done. Zeli is the pnimi, is the inner words, is that the Shechina goes out. And then we can understand why the Satan is kaput. Because once the Shechina leaves it, the powers of Shechina that are inside of it, done. And Bechora is gematria 333. Not 333, 233. The word Bechora is 233. Let's see. Reish is 200. And Chaf is 20. Beis and Hay, 27. And then we read it, Bechora. Hold on, give me a second. Here it's actually spelled without a vav, Lama Zali Bechora. But in truth, it's spelled without a vav, but in its pronunciation, it's with a vav. So if you have 226 count the Vav. 6 and 7 is 213. I'm sorry, it's 13 is 233. So Bechor is Gematria 233. 233 is the word, very important word. It's the word regel. Regel is 233, feet. And it's also the word goral. Goral means a lottery. So what does it mean, v'lama zali b'chora? So we find that Esav, in the future days, who has a descendant, great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, who is the ultimate arch-enemy of the Jewish people, Amalek, and eventually comes out of him a man by the name of Haman, Haman. Now, Haman was fascinated with lotteries, and his entire power was through the lottery. That's why he cast lots. The whole Yontif of Purim are called Pur. Pur means also a lots. So he wanted to, because as we learn in Chassidus, we learn many times, that the power of lottery is a very transcendental power. And when Klipas can't receive, when the unholy can't derive energy from within the system, it tries to rise itself beyond the system. Last week we learned Thursday night, that was the significance of the great tower that they were building in Babylon. They wanted to get to a place called heaven that's above the heavens, that's above the law and order. They wanted to go to a place where it's not based on merits. You get everything for free. Which, by the way, I'm just going to have to say this. You can take a look and you can see the entire war that's going on in the United States is that there's a certain... that's happening right now is, without a shadow of a doubt, the war, the last war of holy against the unholy. And even though the unholy presents itself in piety, it's lies, it's all shkarim, it's absolute lies. And that's why it wants... whatever it campaigns for, take a look at one by one, whatever it's standing for, it's all a fabrication of piety and of goodness. And it's all consistent with what's free. Free everything. Open the doors, let everybody in. That's free. That's not good. No, that's not good. Why is it not good? I'll tell you why it's not good. Because when you want things without merit, there's no merit. That's Klipa. Klipa wants everything without merit. Anyways, subject for another time. But in any case, regel is the word goral. Goral is 233. So Haman made cast lots. So now, when he v'lama zali b'chora, at this moment, his great-grandfather Esav had already weakened it. Because b'chora is gematria goral. And he lost the power of that goral. He lost in that lottery. He didn't gain in that lottery. Because Esav relinquished the regel. By Yaakov, he says, this regel, he doesn't connect it to Yom Kippur when we cast lots. He connects it to the idea of regel, that Yaakov goes up to the Beis HaMikdash Ola regel with his feet. And it could be the two are connected. Because lottery means you're ascending to a place that's beyond reason. And beyond any calculations, and therefore it associates with the feet, because feet is also not reason. Feet are the lowest part of the body, which is the furthest away from the intellect, from the mind, not based on reason. So Yaakov gets a connection to God that's beyond reason, expressed in devotion and dedication of the foot Jews, or the going up to the Beis HaMikdash with our feet. But Esav loses that. And in the future it says that Yaakov is going to vanquish Esav. He's going to overpower Esav with the power of the feet. It says he's going to step on Esav. La'asad lava, it says a pasuk in Yeshaya, t'ramasna regel le'esav. It's all hinted to over here where Esav, v'lama zali b'chora, when Esav lets go of that power of b'chora. Okay. Which I thought is really, really geshmak. Let's continue. Yaakov nasan le'esav. Let's do quickly the next pasuk. And so Yaakov says, "Yom Yaakov yishav alikayim, swear to me like the day." Yishav aloy, and he swore to him. But Yimkud es becharas le Yaakov, he sells his becharet to Yaakov. And then pasuk lamed dalid. What does it say? Yaakov nasan le'esav, and Yaakov gives to Esav lechem, bread, unazid adashim, and a dish of adashim. Lentils, Vayoichel and he eats, vayesh and he drinks, vayakam and he gets up, vayelech and he walks, vayives Esav es habuchera, and Esav shames the firstborn. Vayoichel, vayesh, vayakam, vayelech, vayivas. So, by the way, we mentioned earlier that Esav did 5 sins that day. And the Kli Yakar says that in this pasuk it's hinted to his 5 sins. He ate. Eating is sometimes referred to forbidden relationships. Like we find that Yosef says to the wife of his master that, how can I do that terrible sin that you want to have relations with me? My master gave me everything besides the bread that he eats. So you see that this intimate relationships is sometimes called bread. So Vayoichal, he ate, is referring to that sin. Vayesht, he drank, is referring to spilling of blood. As it says in Hazinu, it says, the words of Hazinu is, Dam chalolim yishteh, the blood of those that he killed by the sword, he will drink. It's a pasuk in Hazinu. Vayakam represents idolatry. As it says, Kama amazeh, the people will have gotten up, Vizanu, and they strayed after the gods, the foreign gods. So Kam means to get up against Hashem. So that's idolatry. Vayelech, and he goes. Vayelech, and he went, is referring to the denial and Tchias HaMesim, because that's the meaning. If one doesn't believe in the resurrection, means that once they leave the world, they're gone forever. And we know that there's no real Vayelech. We go, we come back. So it's not really going. The Vayelech means a denial in that. Vayivez is his final, that he shamed, and that's openly, he shamed the service of God. Okay. The Medrash also tells us that Esav, how did he shame the Bechorah? So the Medrash says that he went outside and he got together a bunch of his clan, of his buddies, and they came back inside and he gave them to eat. And he laughed. He said, look at my brother Jack. Look what an utter fool this guy is. We're eating his soup, his dish. We're drinking his wine. And what are we giving him? I made a fool out of him. All I gave him was a little, I gave him my firstborn. I gave him something that doesn't have any meaning. And they were all laughing and poking fun of Yaakov, and he was like and that's the way it is, you know. Those that are empty and hollow scoff. Okay, but in any case, Esav, as we said earlier, at this moment had relinquished everything. But let me share with you something very, 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 very special. Something really, really awesome. It says over here that Yaakov gave Esav bread and lentil soup. Where does the bread come in? This wasn't part of the negotiations at all. There was no negotiations for bread. They didn't make it. It's not part of the deal. In the earlier deal, he was going to give him lentil soup. He says, give me from your red stuff. Halitaini nomen adam adam azeh. Never asked him for bread. And Yaakov seems to be adding on the bread. And he's giving him nizid adasha. Adding to the lentil stuff, he's also giving him bread. So what was the meaning? What was the kavan of Yaakov of giving him the bread? So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, father of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, has something very, very special over here. He says that Esav is red, as we know. Esav comes from Gevura. And Gevura, it originates in dinim, in judgments, and in constrictions. Judgments are all constricted. In Kabbalah, that's called the Mochen de Katnus. Mochen de Katnus means constricted, where there is a constriction, where there's a lack of expansiveness and chesed, kindness, is expansion and open. Gevura is din. There is holy gevura, which is an intensity when things are contracted so they can be intense. But then there is the gevuras where there is a contraction and it doesn't allow any higher experience. So it keeps, it blocks everything. That's a very unholy contraction. And that's where the world of Esav comes from. It comes from this constricted state. Now, the food that Esav was asking for was red. Like we spoke earlier that he's red and he asks for red stuff. That means that since his shoresh is in the Gevura, that's why he's Yitzchak's son, but he's from the psolas, from the dregs of Gevura. That's why he wants the red food, which are Gevuras. But that's also the reason why he wanted dafka lentils. Lentils is a form of kitnius. Kitnius is beans or peas or something like that. Now, the reason why they're called kitnius, so the Rebbe's father says, it comes from the word katan. Katan means small or immaturity, minor. So therefore, he says, kitnius is a food of mochen de katnus. It's a food. And in some ways, in general, bread is food for the brain. Bread, maybe it means carbohydrates, is mainly a food for the mind. But there's two types of food for the mind. There is real flour, or let's say flour made up of the five types of grain. And then there is flour made up of kitnius. Now we know on Pesach, at least Ashkenazim, we don't use any kitnius. The reason we don't use any kitnius on the simple level is because it resembles and it looks like, it at least appears like real flour. And we don't want people to use it and we don't want to make. So Ashkenazim don't use any kitnius. But the deeper meaning of it is because, the Rebbe's father says, because Pesach is a time of Moichen de Gadlus. Pesach is a time when we go out of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means constrictions. A lot of constriction. And when Pesach is Hashem liberated to a state of Ben Chorin, to expansiveness. For that reason, we don't have kitnius, because kitnius is Moichen de Katnus. It's the very kitnius means it's katan. It's food for the brain, what kitnius, but katan. And that's why Esav wanted the kitnius. He wanted the kitnius because that's where he receives his nourishment from. So he's asking for Nezid Adashim, which Adashim is kitnius, and that's what he wants. What does Yaakov do? So Yaakov gives him his Nezid Adashim. That was part of the deal. But Yaakov throws in a little bit of true enlightenment. Yaakov throws in a little bit Moichen de Gadlus. He says, Lechem, bread, is Gematria 78. 78... We learned this actually a while ago also. 78 is 3 times 26. 26 and 26, 52. Another 20 is 72. Another 6, 78. 26 is Yudkei Vavkei. And we know that Yudkei Vavkei represents openness, broadness, expansiveness, versus Elokim, which Elokim is constriction. Havaya is Ein Sof, openness. Three times Avaya represents the three Moichen when they are in an expanded way. There's three Moichen, Chachma, Bina, Das. That's Lechem. Mitzrayim, remember we said before, Mitzrayim is the opposite of Moichen, the Godless. We know that Mitzrayim, it's called the constriction is the constriction of the neck, Goron. Let's say Paro is the letters Ha'oref, the neck, which is the part of the constriction. And we know that in the neck there are also, just like in the bread are three, in the head are three mochen, in the neck there are three pipes. The esophagus, the windpipe, and the and then there is a major blood artery. Anyways, these are the three pipes that there are in the neck, which are the three ministering powers of Paro. But they're all part of the neck, which the neck is Goron. And Goron is Gematria. The word Goron is 259, which is the Gematria three times Elohim. Elohim are the three Moichen de Katnos. It means that each of the Moichen, and they're all constricted. And that's what the kidney is. That's the flour made up of the kidney. It's the Moichen de Katnos. The Yaakov or Lechem is expansive Moichen. and expansive mochin are the, and it's three times lechem. Sorry, lechem is three times yud kei vav kei. So that's the reason why Yaakov gave him the bread, because what Yaakov wanted to do was, so you can say, I mean, he does the way it's stated over here is that Yaakov, it wasn't because of a tikkun for Esau. It was in order to, because in order to bring Esau to an end. I guess the tikkun of Esau is when Esau gets enlightened. And that's his tikkun. When he stops being the Esau that he is, and that's his enlightenment. But the way he says it like this, if he would just been giving him the Nezid Adashim, that then he would be connecting him to his Shoresh, to his source, and allowing him, and that's his source, so he would have had a tkifus forever. He would have continued. But since he gave him the Moichen de Gadlus, and so what the Moichen de Gadlus is what actually burns Esav completely, it destroys him. That's the power of Yaakov, which is Moichen de Gadlus that he gave into Esav, and that's why he gave him the Lechem. And therefore, he says, let's just continue with this idea. Oh, and that's why there's a pasuk. There's a pasuk in Mishle. And the pasuk in Mishle says like this, Imrav sanacha, if your enemy is hungry, hachilehu lechem, give him to eat bread. So what is the meaning? If your enemy is hungry, give him bread. The enemy is, the arch enemy is Esav. He's the arch enemy, Amalek and the like. If he's hungry, give him bread. That's what Yaakov did. He didn't ask him for bread, but Yaakov gave him bread. And what did the pasuk conclude? Ki gachalem atachayta al rosho, because you're going to be throwing coals on his head. The throwing of the coals on his head is the burning, the complete destruction. It says that Yaakov burns. Esav is compared to kash, to straw, and Yaakov is compared to fire. And Yosef is compared like a big flame, and he will burn Esav's straw. So that's ki gecholim atachayte, because you're actually casting the gecholim, the coals are being shoved on him through having, why? Because it's too much enlightenment, too much clarity, and that destroys the wicked. It at least destroys for sure the wickedness of Esav, and that's why he's an amazing thing. He says there is a fellow by the name of Vaizasa. Who's Vaizasa? Vaizasa is the youngest son, of Esav, of Haman. Haman is again a descendant of Esav. His name is Vaizasa. Vaizasa is the exact gematria of Adashim, because Adashim are these lentils. So the power of Esav. So the power of Esav is rooted. The power of Esav is rooted in the Adashim, is rooted in the lentils. And that's why Vaizasa, who is the youngest, and again, Katnos, who is the youngest son of Esav, is Vaizasa. So that's where they receive their energy. Also, another interesting thing, and this will conclude, Nizid Adashim, which means the dish. The dish of Adashim, which again, the Adashim are the lentils, which are the kidneys, is gematria 11 times man. Adashim is gematria 424. Nezid is gematria 71. 71 plus 424 is 495. 495 is five times the name Adam. Adam, not five times, 11 times the name Adam. Adam is 45. So 11 times Adam is 495. So what's that? It's referring to Haman and his 11 children. And they derive their power from Nizid Adashim. And that's why Yaakov didn't just give them the Nizid Adashim. He gave it to them, but he also threw into him the power of the Lechem. And that defeats and that overpowers the Nizid Adashim. Which is interesting, and that's the power of the 11, because everything in the unholy by Esav is 11 chiefs. Later, when you speak in the Torah about Esav, it gives you the 11 chiefs of Esav, because these are the 11 sons of Haman, and the gematria of 11 times man is, which are the Haman and his 10 children, is exactly the gematria of Nezid Adashim. And now I'm going to add my own little something. What is the whole point over here? Is that Yaakov should take the Bechorah and overpower over Esav. That means that he controls Esav as well. And he brings Esav under his reign. So that what? That eventually Esav gives it. That happens over here like this. Yaakov is taking control over Esav by giving him the Nezid Adashim, but Esav is giving Yaakov the Bechorah. So watch this. What's the Bechorah for Yaakov? Bechorah for Yaakov means that he's the firstborn, and that's Mashiach. Mashiach is when Yaakov, the Jewish people, are seen as the firstborn, and the those that are leading and elevating all of humanity, but everybody looks up to the Jewish people, which is going to happen in the end of days. Through what? Through the Nezid Adashim. So it struck me when I saw the gematria of the word Adashim, that Adashim is gematria 424, which is the exact gematria of Mashiach ben David, which, as you remember, we spoke, is the exact gematria of Donald Trump, 424. Nezid is 71. How old was Trump when he became president? He was 70 in his 71st year. So you take Nezid Adashim is 424, Donald Trump, with his 70. 71 also can represent him being the drive of all the nations, because today everybody, all the nations of the world are petrified, are scared of him. He's not playing by the rules that they were used to till now. And what is this all about? This is all, it has no other purpose than one purpose. And that is what? Yaakov gives Esav the power of Nezid Adashim, which, by the way, happened actually in truth as well, because the brains behind the Trump win came from his son-in-law, whose name is Kushner, who's a nice Jewish boy. So the Jewish boy, who was Yaakov, gives Esav the Nezid Adashim, gives Esav this power that's happening now. For what purpose? That purpose is going to give the Bechorah and Moshiach, and for the Jewish people. And this is how it all comes together. That is super cool. Okay, everyone. We will continue next week, Be'ezus Hashem. We're starting already a new story. Story of the hunger, the famine in the land. Yitzchak going to deal with Avimelech. We've been reading about Yaakov and Esav already a very long time. We will come back to them again later by the story of the blessings. Tune in for Mashiach Matters, Be'ezus Hashem, next week.